All right, let's unpack this. 43%. That's the number of family offices hit by a cyber attack just in the last 2 years.
It's a big number. And get this.
Yeah.
Half of those weren't just one attack. They had three or more.
Three or more. Wow. Okay, so even if, you know, you listening aren't directly involved with family wealth, that kind of number, it should make you pause, right?
Absolutely. It really points to these hidden risks in our digital lives.
And understanding them is just, well, it's crucial for staying informed. Doesn't matter what you're trying to protect.
Yeah, and what's interesting here, we're focusing on family offices today, but the takeaways, they're pretty universal.
Right.
We're looking at a report that really digs into their top three security challenges. You've got cyber, insider threats, and physical security.
Huge amounts of wealth involved.
Yeah.
It's the big targets.
Exactly. Trillions globally. But the vulnerabilities, and maybe more importantly, the solutions they're developing. Well, that offers insights for pretty much anyone trying to protect their own stuff.
Makes sense. And the report mentions these threats are global, but maybe not evenly spread.
That's right. It seems family offices in North America, they're seeing the most cyber attacks.
Okay.
Followed by Europe, then Asia Pacific. So there are some regional differences.
Interesting. It really shows how interconnected everything is, but also how threats can vary.
Yeah. It's a global issue, for sure. So our mission today for you is basically to pull out the key stuff from this report.
What are the threats? What are people doing
Absolutely.
About that?
Absolutely. Give you some actionable knowledge, a bigger picture of the security landscape right now.
All right, let's dive in. Cybersecurity first. That digital battlefield.
Okay.
That 43% stat we opened with, it's alarming. And the report also says 70% of these offices feel the risk is greater now.
So awareness is definitely up, which is good, I suppose.
It is. But here's where it gets kind of wild. So far in 2024, just this year, over 2,000 public data breaches.
2,000?
Yeah. Compromising, wait for it, 5 billion records.
5 billion, wow.
It just makes you wonder, why family offices specifically? Why are they such prime targets?
That's a really key question. The report suggests, well, it's a combination. They have significant wealth, obviously.
Right.
But maybe counterintuitively, their security infrastructure, it isn't always as robust, maybe not as well-funded as, like, a big corporation's.
Oh, okay. So, like, a high-value target, but maybe with slightly weaker walls.
Kind of. Potentially fewer layers of defense, yeah.
That makes a grim kind of sense. So how are the attacks actually happening? What are the weak spots?
Well, the report flags a few main ways. Number one, maybe not surprising, phishing and malware.
Still, after all this time.
Still, a huge 93% of the offices that got hit said phishing emails were involved.
93%.
Yeah.
That really hammers home the human element, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You can have the best tech, but one wrong click.
Yeah, game over. So that constant challenge of human error versus clever social engineering, what else?
Ransomware and extortion are big ones, too.
Makes sense. High net worth individuals, attackers probably figure they can and will pay up.
That's the perception, yeah. Pay to get data back or stop it being leaked. We're also seeing more sophisticated stuff like phishing attacks. That's phishing, but specifically targeting the big fish, the executives.
Got it.
And then there's the really unsettling development of deep fake technology.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Using AI to create fake but very convincing audio or video. Imagine a video call from someone you trust asking for an urgent but fake transaction.
That's chilling. Deep fakes hitting family offices. Okay, so with all this digital danger, what are the defenses looking like? Are they holding up?
Well, this is where the report shows a pretty significant potential weakness.
Oh.
Almost a third, 31%, don't even have a formal cyber incident response plan.
Seriously, no plan for what to do after an attack.
Seems so. And of those who do have one, another 43% say, yeah, it needs work.
Wow.
Only about a quarter, 26%, think their plan is actually robust.
Given the stakes, that feels low.
Yeah.
You'd think an incident plan would be like table stakes, non-negotiable.
You would. It's quite concerning.
So what about the ones who are doing it right? What does that look like?
The proactive ones, they're adopting these comprehensive cybersecurity frameworks, basically layers of defense.
Okay, like what?
First, endpoint protection. Think of it like security guards for every laptop, phone, tablet.
Okay, protecting the devices themselves.
Right. Preventing breaches, detecting weird activity, investigating if something happens. Then there's network security.
Guarding the whole system.
Yeah, vulnerability scanning, patching software weaknesses, having disaster recovery plans, business continuity.
So stopping attacks, but also being ready if one gets through. Planning for failure, almost.
Exactly. Fortifying the walls, but also having evacuation plans, if you will.
Gotcha. What
else? Our big piece is identity protection.
Passwords and stuff.
Yeah, preventing credential theft. So security training for everyone, running fake phishing tests to keep people sharp.
Practicing.
Mm-hmm. And multi-factor authentication, MFA. Needing more than just a password, like a code from your phone, too.
Right, that extra layer.
And the report also notes this trend of outsourcing cybersecurity to specialists.
Bringing in the experts.
Yeah. But the key there is having really clear service level agreements, SLAs, that spell out things like how quickly will systems be restored, how are backups handled.
Okay, that paints a pretty clear picture on the cyber front. Let's shift gears a bit. Insider threats.
Ah, the enemy within.
Yeah, this feels complicated. It's about trust, isn't it?
Very much so. An insider threat, according to the report, it could be anyone with legitimate access.
Employees.
Current employees, former employees, contractors, vendors, even family members.
Family members, wow.
And the motivations can be all over the place. Money, grudges, ideology, or sometimes just, well, carelessness. Negligence.
And the tricky part is they already have keys to the kingdom, right?
Exactly. They can often bypass the usual cyber defenses designed to keep outsiders out because they're supposed to be inside.
That must make spotting them incredibly hard. Yeah. What does the report say about how well offices are handling this? Are they even seeing it as a big risk?
It's a bit of a mixed bag, according to the data.
How so?
Well, on the plus side, more offices are doing periodic security checks on employees' access. That's up to 37% from 19% back in 2020.
Okay, improvement. But still, nearly two-thirds aren't.
Right. Still a ways to go. And just over half provide security training related to these risks.
And how often?
For those that do, it's mostly annual. About 59% train annually.
Annual training.
Yeah.
With how fast things change, that feels maybe not enough.
Could be. It's a fair point. And here's a really interesting nugget from the report.
Yeah.
When asked about reputational risk, family members themselves were seen as the biggest source.
Not disgruntled employees, but family.
Yep. Cited by 36%. It really broadens the idea of security beyond just stolen money. Reputation is huge.
Absolutely. Damage there can be hard, maybe impossible to fix. So what are the strategies then? How do you mitigate threats from people you're supposed to trust?
The report points to a few things gaining ground. First, regular security assessments.
Checking who has access to what and why.
Exactly. But the report adds a caution you have to balance that security need with privacy and, you know, keeping a decent workplace culture.
Tricky balance.
Very. Then comprehensive training, not just for staff, maybe even for family members, too. Raising awareness.
Makes sense.
More formal insider threat programs are appearing, too. That means having actual procedures for monitoring, spotting red flags, and responding.
A structured approach.
Right. And finally, using anti-fraud services more, doing risk assessments specifically for fraud, setting up controls, monitoring transactions.
Okay, so we've done digital, we've done internal.
Yeah.
That leaves the physical world, physical security risks.
Right. Might seem a bit old school next to cybercrime, but it's still incredibly important.
Especially with the kind of wealth we're talking about.
Absolutely. And worryingly, the report says less than half of family offices regularly evaluate their physical security risks.
Less than half. That seems like a major blind spot.
It really does, especially given the potential threats.
What kind of physical threats are we talking about? Is it just break-ins?
It can be more serious. Kidnapping and ransom attempts are a major concern.
Especially during travel.
Particularly international travel, yeah.
Yeah.
Also things like express kidnapping, quick abductions for quick cash and carjacking.
Okay.
And just general extortion attempts, threatening harm to people or property.
These are terrifying scenarios.
Yeah.
So what are the defenses here? Bodyguards?
That's part of it. Executive protection services, yes. Hiring trained professionals, often ex-military or law enforcement.
Okay.
Specialized insurance is also key. Kidnap and ransom policies, K&R insurance.
What does that cover? Just the ransom?
Usually more. It often provides access to expert crisis response teams, covers negotiation costs, medical expenses, legal fees, stuff like that.
So it's financial protection and practical help.
Exactly. Comprehensive crisis management planning is vital too. Having detailed plans for what to do if something does happen. Evacuation, repatriation, communication protocols.
Planning for the worst case scenario.
Mm-hmm. And just like with cyber, regular risk assessments. Checking physical weak points, reviewing countermeasures. It's an ongoing process.
Okay. So let's try and wrap this up. We've covered a lot of ground.
We have. Cybersecurity, insider threats, physical security, the big three challenges for these family offices.
And the main takeaway seems to be you can't just focus on one, right? It needs to be holistic.
That's the core message from the report, absolutely. You need proactive planning, strong governance, backup plans across all these areas. Digital, internal, physical, they're all linked.
And while, yeah, we've been talking about family offices managing huge sums, the basic ideas, they apply much more broadly, don't they?
Completely. Understanding where you're vulnerable, taking steps to prevent problems, having a plan B that's relevant to anyone trying to protect their assets, their information, themselves.
Whether it's your personal finances, your small business, or just your online accounts.
Exactly. Which leads us to maybe a final thought for you listening. Given how connected our digital and physical lives are now, think about your own security. Is there one area, maybe digital, maybe within your trusted circle, maybe physical safety, that might need a closer look today?
That's a good question to leave people with. Yeah. Definitely food for thought.